It's time for JT the Brick.
I'm rolling today. Vegas is the sports and entertainment capital of the world. No debate. Every day we have the ability to talk Raiders, and you can talk about whatever you want to talk about this time of year. There's never an off season in the Raider Nation. I've done this rodeo before. Do we all agree?
Here we go again.
Hey, girls.
JT the Brick.
We want to put guests and callers on the radio who can make an impact. We're going to talk sports, all different types of sports, because we do a sports talk show. We have the best fans in all sports calling this show for over a quarter century. We hope that remains the same whenever you want to pick up the phone. Enjoy everything we do, and please always feel welcome to call in and to tweet and to be a part of the show. It's Big Boy Radio. Are you with me? What do you got? You, the Raider Nation, have an opinion. Use the phone like a weapon.
And now,
this is completely BS.
Here's JT the Brick.
Great to have you, everybody. Hope you had a good weekend. JT here in Vegas. Happy to be from home today where the weather is beautiful. Feeling great. Hope you had a good weekend. I had a great weekend. I hope yours was fun, especially if you went out and celebrated St. Patrick's Day, which I did yesterday, which normally throughout my career here in Vegas, you know, I do a Sunday night show my entire career. Now at Sirius XM, they moved me up to the daytime a little bit on Sunday. So I couldn't go to the Vegas Golden Knight game yesterday, but my wife went with a couple of my friends and had a blast. There was no goal scored through the first two periods, but then Eichel came through and gave Vegas the lead.
Eichel up to the line, barely onside. He shoots, he scores! Vegas takes the lead. Jack Eichel's 21st. 2-1 Golden Knights with 9 minutes to play in regulation.
Massive goal. Ended up being the game winner. Massive goal for Eichel. He's got to play elite hockey if Vegas is going to have an opportunity to repeat as Stanley Cup champs. This was a game they had to have. They could not lose this game, let alone win in overtime. Vegas, in the third period, was dominant. They win the game.
The fans in gold and green to their feet. Vegas wins. Carrier, Eichel, and Carlson make a winner out of Logan Thompson. Golden Knights 3, Devils 1.
A great win. Again, they don't all have to be perfect. They don't have to be beautiful, but you got to win games this time of year, and they were able to do that. So tremendous opportunity for them to win. They were able to do that. So at that point, I was just wrapping up doing a show, and my wife called me, and she said, we're going to go over to Virgin for dinner. And we went over to Virgin to have some dinner, and you could see that people were celebrating. Wink, wink. It was St. Patty's Day. The wife had on the green. Her girlfriends had on the green. Everybody was having fun. So last night was a good night. Later night than I expected, but fun. I mean, Vegas does St. Patty's Day really cool. The night before, I went and saw Journey, and Toto opened up for them at the Michelob Ultra Arena at Mandalay Bay. And that show was fantastic. I've never seen Toto before. Their whole band has session musicians, a lot of original members, and they were fabulous. You want to talk about a band opening up for another band. And then Journey came out. We were guests of the keyboard player, Jonathan Cain, who's become a friend. And we had a blast. So my buddies and I, Journey, Toto, that was Saturday night, which was unbelievable. So classic Vegas. Vegas has got hockey on Sunday, concerts Saturday night, and we had a great weekend here. And now this week is all leading up to the madness of March Madness. And what's going to happen with March Madness? Eventually, I think with the Final Four coming here to Vegas and more regional games, because we have all the conference championship games here, and the NCAA seems to love it. All the teams want to be here in Vegas during conference tournament week. And then you add into the future the national championship game and what's going to happen at Allegiant Stadium. This is a big time week for Las Vegas to shine. Very important week from the airport to the casinos to the service industry. There are a lot of people who only come into Vegas once a year, and they come in for March Madness. Not the Super Bowl, not for a hockey game. They come in for this. So this is arguably what we do best over the decades. Actually, what I think Vegas does best, the rodeo is at the top of the list. Why do we have the rodeo in Vegas? Because rodeo fans want to have fun. They want to go out. They want to go out to casinos and have good times. So it's a good fit, and it's a great fit. Absolute great fit for March Madness. So let us know when you're coming. Let us know what you're doing. We're going to be at the Strat on Wednesday to kick it off, and then Friday, there's going to be plenty of TVs at La Casa Cigars the Cigar Lounge right there in Tivoli Village, and we will be there from noon to 2. That's brought to you also by Remy Martin. We'll have signature Remy Martin cocktails. We'll have my bucket of Modelo, which I always have on Friday, and we'll be able to watch games together. So I think it's going to be unbelievable to see what happens in the first round here. Purdue better get out of the first round. There's a couple of teams here. There's a couple of teams that are going to have to play really well early. Matt Verderam is kind enough to join us. He's a staff writer at SI Now, really good NFL insider, and I'm happy to welcome him into the show. Hey, Matt, I want to begin with free agency and the Chiefs. Because they kept Chris Jones, do they win free agency because they retain their best player?
Yeah, you know, I think JT overall, they're very happy with the way things shook out. Like, they went into free agency knowing that they needed to retain Chris Jones, first and foremost, and then Drew Tranquil, who was clearly the number two on their list. They were able to do so. And I think with Jones, with the 5 and 160, you go, wow, look at the sticker shock on that. The reality is it's really like 3 years and $95 million. Now, pretty much it's fully guaranteed $95 million. But look, the Chiefs are happy with where the negotiations went. Obviously, I think in the end, Jones won out in terms of $95 million guaranteed. That's Aaron Donald money. I don't think the Chiefs were going to go there until they absolutely had to. But they get him. They get Drew Tranquil back and then sign Hollywood Brown. So I think at this point, they're pretty focused on the draft.
In Chicago, with the breaking news over the weekend with Justin Fields, a lot of insiders got this wrong. They just got the pick wrong, a six-round pick. That could be a fourth-round pick. What happened with your reporting along the way when the market moved so drastically? Because the Raiders got Gardner Minshew. You know, New England gets Jacoby Brissett. We see Joe Flacco going to Indy. And then I'm saying to myself, wait a second. I thought Justin Fields was supposed to go for a second, no later than a third-round pick. What happened here?
Bottom dropped out of the market. I think the reality is, you know, Fields is seen around the league as intriguing, but as more of a developmental prospect than as a starting quarterback. And so when free agency opened up, as you mentioned, a lot of these spots got gobbled up. You know, Russell Wilson already had gone to Pittsburgh at that point. And so there really wasn't a landing spot. You know, maybe you could argue Denver needs a starter, but I think Denver is more focused on trying to find a guy, you know, in the rookie class because they're just dealing with $85 million in dead cap over the next 2 years with Wilson. So it became a problem for Chicago that they really couldn't solve. There was nowhere to send them. They had no leverage. And I think that was the other part of it, too. I was at the Senior Bowl in January down in Mobile. I was at the Combine. Mm-hmm. Even at the Senior Bowl, everybody knew. Everybody was talking about, hey, the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams. And so I just think it got to a point where everybody around the league, even if they had interest in Fields, said, well, why would we give you any compensation? We know you've got to move them. And those factors all combined to really hurt Chicago's leverage.
Matt Verderam is our guest, SI Now. Matt, I want to go back to Denver. They look like a train wreck to me. There's no way Sean Payton took this job to have an $85 million cap hit. He ran Russell Wilson out. That's my opinion. He didn't get along with him or didn't like him. And Russell Wilson played decent the last year. He played decent, especially beating Buffalo and Kansas City. What do you think happened with the Russell Wilson market where Pittsburgh was the only team willing to pay the $1.2 million? What happened there?
I think a lot of people around the league just felt like he's a diminishing product at this point, obviously well into his mid-30s. But the plus side for any team, and it ended up being Pittsburgh, was when you signed him, you were going to get him for the vet minimum. I mean, you're talking $1.3 million. It's peanuts for a backup quarterback, let alone a starter. But I think a lot of teams that could have signed him looked at him and said, well, would we rather have him or would we rather draft somebody? And you're going to have five quarterbacks, maybe six, go off the board early in this draft, you know, first rounders. And so I think that was part of the problem for Russell Wilson. And by the time you worked through this, I mean, you looked at it and said, okay, well, could he go to Atlanta? Well, Atlanta knew they had Kirk Cousins lined up. Minnesota wants to go young. They don't want to go with Russell Wilson. So I think, kind of like the Justin Fields thing, there was just a shrinking market. Pittsburgh was a team that said, okay, look, we just went down this road of drafting a guy. Didn't work out. We don't have a high draft pick. Not going to be able to get one of the top four, maybe five quarterbacks in the class. And so I think it just kind of made sense for him to see what they can get out of him. But Denver, I agree with you on Denver's side of the coin. I think they're the worst team in the AFC. I don't even know that you could argue. Maybe you like them better than New England. Fine. Denver is in need of a complete reset, and I think they're about to get one.
Matt Verderam is our guest, Sports Illustrated. So, Matt, I look at all the free agency here, the quarterback market, very interesting. The draft here, and as you do your homework like I'm doing for the draft coming up in a month, Jaden Daniels at number 3 to the Patriots, Drake May at number 2 to the Commanders, Caleb 1, maybe Jaden Daniels number 2 to the Commanders. I don't know what's going to happen here, but after those three, J.J. McCarthy, Penix, and Bo Nix, what do you think is going to happen now? Because the Raiders are at 13, the Broncos are at 12, Minnesota's got 2 first-round draft picks and can use one. How crazy is it going to be for some of these teams to trade up into the top 3 or at least get to number 3, or do you think it's going to be close to impossible?
I think it's very hard because those top 3 teams, if the Bears aren't moving, that's mm-hmm. not going to happen. They're taking Williams. So do the Commanders? Now, the Commanders have a completely new front office. They have new ownership. They have a new coach. I mean, I just think if you're the Commanders, you can't trade out of that pick. You just can't do it. So that really leaves New England, and New England is in a similar spot. Obviously not new ownership, but a completely new front office and everything else. Like, if you're New England, do you pass on a quarterback that you really like? I don't think you can. I don't know how you can trade out of that pick, because to your point, you're not moving down a couple of spots. I mean, if you're New England at 3, you're moving 9 spots back with Denver, 10 spots back with the Raiders. The Vikings are the team, though, I think that if they really have the appetite, and I think they do, to move way up, which is why they position themselves the way they have, they're the team that might be able to do it more than anybody else. Because if you're New England, if you're Arizona at 4, maybe a team wants to get up and get McCarthy, because the Giants are looming there. And McCarthy, if he's on the board and the Giants pick, he might very well go there. So I think everybody's looking at it going, got to maybe target New England, Arizona, and the Chargers, 3 through 5. Minnesota's got the most ammunition and has a lot of reason to go after a quarterback hard, because they're not rebuilding. They have a team that can win now if they get a good quarterback.
Wrapping it up, Matt, I want to get to the Houston Texans. I'm not going to do it this year, but I could see myself a year from now sitting in the seat picking them to win the Super Bowl because of what they're doing with the defense. I mean, Will Anderson Jr., Danielle Hunter now, what Danico Autry, what they have, what they did in free agency, what they have overall on defense, and they hit a home run with C.J. Stroud. Then they bring in Mixon. I mean, everything that the Houston Texans have done in the last 6 or 8 months, watching them on the field, how tough and gritty they are, free agency in the draft, it's really coming together for them. Talk to me about the Houston Texans and how big of a problem they're going to be for the rest of the AFC.
They've done a great job. And look, in the AFC, the barrier to entry is really high because you have to have a superstar quarterback or you don't have any chance. And they found one. I think Stroud is the closest thing that's come out of the draft to Mahomes since the Genuine article back in 2017. I mean, he can do it all. He can throw on the run. He can make every kind of play off platform, on platform, on time, off time, whatever. They're stacked. And I love Rhines as a coach. That division is not bad. But certainly, I think you look at it and say, look, maybe Jacksonville has something to save. Houston should win that division if healthy. And, you know, they got a taste last year. They won a playoff game. They went to Baltimore. And okay, look, Baltimore pounded them. Fine. But they got a taste. I think that matters. I don't think they're on Kansas City's level yet. I think if Cincinnati is healthy, I still think the Bengals are a better team. But I think after Kansas City, like, you can make a case. I mean, I would take Houston over Buffalo right now. I think Houston's better than them. So the Texans are very much up and coming, and I think if they continue to build the way they do while Stroud's on that rookie deal, they're going to have a lot to say in the AFC the next few years.
I agree with you 100%. Matt Verderam. Matt, tell us about your podcast, where we can find you. I got you up via Twitter. Thanks for getting back to me. What else is brewing with you? What you got going?
Yeah, for national stuff, I'm over at the Monday Morning Quarterback podcast. I'm on there with Connor Orr and Albert Breer and Gilberto Manzano. And then I do the Matt Verderam Show, which is on Patreon, which is more of a Chiefs-focused podcast. That's right, the team I came up covering. So doing that over on Patreon. If you're a Chiefs fan, you want to check that out, the Matt Verderam Show. And it's been up for just over a month, almost 1,000 members. It's been a lot of fun, and it's been a cool project to work on.
Great, man. All the best. I want to have you on again. I think what you do is fantastic. I appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks a lot. Anytime. Take care.
You got it. Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated, and Sports Illustrated has new ownership now, which is good. So they're going to keep Sports Illustrated, which is fantastic, and I know Matt's really happy about that. So I bring up the teams. Remember this last week with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields going to Pittsburgh. I thought Pittsburgh did pretty good in free agency. I love those two picks for the Steelers. I love them. And then the Houston Texans are doing a lot. They got Danielle Hunter on coming off the opposite edge of Will Anderson. I mean, they're loaded. Their defense is legit. They're in the AFC. We're in the AFC, Raider Nation. I got to focus on the AFC. You want to focus on the AFC West and how to beat Patrick Mahomes. I'm all for that. Antonio Pierce, the Mahomes rules. I get it. Well, take a look around the rest. The Jacksonville Jaguars, the Houston Texans, right? You're going to see the Patriots try to rebuild. Denver is a train wreck. And one of my featured opinions that I'll have the entire summer is that now, in the past, we weren't supposed to sweep Denver. Okay, for the last 4 years, sweeping Denver, we weren't supposed to. You know, they're going to win one. We're going to split. We swept them. Now we have to sweep Denver. Okay, we've got 17 games, 18-week schedule. I know it's hard to beat any team in football. It's hard to win in football. But the Raiders got to look at the start of this season. The fans, not the coach. The fans got to look at it. We got to say we got two in the bank with Denver. We got two in the bank with Denver and one with the Chargers. So we already have 3 wins when the schedule comes out because Denver is a dumpster fire. And Jim Harbaugh's got to clean up the Chargers. I mean, the Chargers were in cap hell. They kept a couple of players, lost a couple of players. We all have to believe that the Raiders roster today is better than the Denver Broncos and the Los Angeles Chargers. It's not better than Kansas City. We know that. The Raiders, I don't believe the Raiders roster is anywhere close to Baltimore or Houston, maybe. Raiders got some good players. Devontae, Max Crosby, they're pretty good with the roster there. But the teams in the AFC, as Matt just said, if you don't have an elite quarterback, you're not going to win anything. That's hard to hear in Raider Nation because we don't have an elite quarterback. We don't have him yet, and we might try to get him in the draft. So this gets complicated. It's not concerning. It's not nerve-wracking, but it's concerning to me how the Raiders get a quarterback here in the first round. And if you're good with them waiting till 13 and taking the best one available, I'll be good with that too because we'll know it's too expensive to trade up. And he just gave you a pretty good scenario about some of the trading up options. And the trading up options would probably be anywhere from 5, 6, 7 to move up there. And that's going to be expensive too. So there's a lot going on here, man. It's going to be a lot of good content coming up here. James is in Puerto Rico. Look at this show. Make a promo out of this. I can't get a caller to call in from Vegas, but I got guys calling in from Puerto Rico. What's going on, James?
Hello.
Hello, James.
Hey, how you doing, Brick? I tell you what, you're my favorite guy to listen to when it comes to sports. And Las Vegas is number one. I feel like moving over there. Anyway, your first question was about the quarterbacks. How Russell Wilson didn't fit too much with Oakland or Las Vegas, right? Mm-hmm. The reason was that if you look at when he went to Pittsburgh actually made a comment saying they're going to surround the team around Russell Wilson to make it his team. Well, I don't think Antonio Pierce would have went with that. You understand?
Yeah, I understand why I understand why Antonio Pierce and Tom Telesco didn't bring in Russell Wilson. I understand that. Yeah. I just want to continue to point out that Russell Wilson's a Hall of Fame player with plenty of time left in his career, and I think the Steelers got a good deal. Whoever got Russell Wilson from the Raiders to the Steelers, we're going to get a good deal on paper. That's
hell it. Yes. Yeah. So I'm thinking what the Raiders going to do is when they get into that draft time, they're going to do some moves. They're going to try to do whatever they can and continue the progress that they want and get themselves another quarterback.
Thank you, my friend, and thank you for calling from Puerto Rico. Idea. Yeah, appreciate it. I'm up against it. I got to run. Appreciate the call. So you believe that gentleman from Puerto Rico believes that the Raiders got to wheel and deal and move up and get the quarterback. They don't have to move up. Raiders will get a quarterback at 13. They'll get one if they wait there at 13. But what is the drop-off between the top three and the next three? And what happens in 5 years from now if we find out that the best quarterback taken in the draft, and it often takes about 4 or 5 years, what happens if the best one was J.J. McCarthy and he turned out to be better than Caleb Williams, which I doubt? He turned out to be better than Drake May and Jaden Daniels. What happens if Michael Penix turns out to be the best quarterback of the five or six available? We're not going to know. But we know the Raiders have the ability to get a quarterback. The question is, how much do they want to spend to go up and get it? 702-365-9200. Appreciate everybody checking in today. Thanks to Matt Verderam. I thought he was outstanding. Also coming up next, Bill Krakenberger will check in. America's favorite sports gambler. More money is going to be bet this weekend, okay, over the first couple of days than the Super Bowl. That's just the beginning of the NCAA tournament. Bill Krakenberger is a winning gambler. He's not a loser. He's a winner. He's going to give you some advice on how to bet the tournament. All gamblers should listen if they're serious about making money. Brought to you by the 872 Laborers.
From what I've seen, he's a very good player. He has size, he has speed, he has some nice vision, has some production late in the year. But the way we're going to play and the way a lot of teams play is you need more than one back. And I don't really see a lead back type thing. You got to have more than one. You need to have two. You need to have three. They all have different roles with the team. The way this game is played, it's hard to do just to put that all on one person.
It's Tom Telesco on Zamir White. It looks like Zamir White will be the featured running back for the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm good with that. He played at Georgia. He played at Georgia on a great team, and Josh Jacobs played at Alabama on a great team. So Zamir White, Zeus, is the back. He's got to be ready. They got to get him a backup. They got to get some depth there, a slasher, another back. Because Zeus is a big guy. He's a really big guy. And it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen with him. Is he going to be a workhorse, or will the Raiders throw it more? You know, I like to throw more than run. My oldest son mocks me all the time. He says, "Dad, you hate running the football." I said, "No, I don't hate running the football. I like throwing it more. I'm a guy that wants to see explosive plays downfield." We got a number of explosive plays with Josh Jacobs over his tenureship with the Raiders. He's a very good player. But we got Devontae Adams on this team for now. I don't know how long Devontae's going to be here. I hope it's till he retires with multiple Super Bowls. We have to get the ball to Devontae and Michael Mayer. Did we all hear that? Okay, clip that and use that. Make a t-shirt out of it. We have to get the football to Devontae, who's an elite superstar, and Michael Mayer, who was not used properly by the former regime last year until Antonio Pierce took over and he got a couple of more looks. Michael Mayer cannot come into this organization and be an afterthought. Okay, he's got to be treated the way Rob Gronkowski was treated in New England. Okay, the way that you treat Michael Mayer is you make him a priority in the passing game. And then Trey Tucker goes and runs a bomb. And how good is Jacoby Myers, who did a restructure? Great number two wide receiver. He probably thinks he's a number one because he's that good. So with the four, we got to come up with a name, Bobby, not the four horsemen. But we got to come up with the four. It would be Trey Tucker, Michael Mayer, Jacoby Myers, and Devontae. That's enough. I don't need practice squad players and backup wide receivers. You want to talk about them? You talk about them on your show. I'm talking about those four guys and the ball coming out of the hand of Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell, and those guys play explosive, faster football. I don't know much about Luke Getsy. I don't know much about Luke Getsy, but I know the principles that he had at Green Bay with Devontae, and then they wanted to run it. He had a running quarterback in Chicago with Justin Fields. Really, to get the ball out to a couple of wide receivers, I thought they did a pretty good job last year. They beat the Raiders. They ran it down our throat. I was there, and Chicago pushed us around and ran it down us. They exploited us and beat us badly. That was the reason why Josh McDaniels got fired. Okay, we don't have to think about this. I know the story. After Chicago and that terrible performance in Chicago, Brian Hoyer and that awful performance, then they went quickly to Detroit. They got smoked in the first half. The locker room was dead, and Mark Davis got rid of the regime because he saw enough. That can't happen this year. Okay, we got to come out. We got to be an explosive throwing team because we have Zamir White as of now as our featured back. We can't go into the season. Our game plan is going to be run the ball with Zeus. He hasn't proven himself in this league yet unless we get another featured running back here. Joe Mixon ended up going to the Texans. So how many running backs you want is a topic that I'll talk about, but I think we got the right one in Zeus who will start off the season. We got him. America's favorite sports gambler, always in Vegas. I believe he's in Atlantic City as we speak, getting ahead of the NCAA tournament from Crack Wins. Bill Krakenberger. And Bill, I see people, we know what's going to happen. They lose more money betting college basketball because they don't know the teams and they want to bet on every single game. What advice can you give our audience?
Man, this is an easy time for people to get caught up in the hype of just overbetting. Probably the easiest time of the year to get caught up, actually, the more I think about it, even more than the Super Bowl, because it casts its net over so many days. And the buildup of Selection Sunday just until, you know, Thursday tip-off, and then you have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, a plethora of games. And what happens is you actually wind up betting a lot more games than you even like just because you need action. And this is not the way I look at it. It's not the way that you're supposed to look at it. But I know it's very hard for people to compose themselves and maintain control because, you know, I don't mean to sound so negative on sports betting, but it's kind of a closet gambling. You're doing it on an app now, not like it was years ago. Everyone had to go to the counter and put your money up. When you put money up, when you touch and feel money and put it at the counter and release the money, it's a lot different than just pressing buttons on a machine and something goes back and forth to your bank or whatever. There's a different feel to it. So it's much easier to do. And, you know, listen, here and all that, it's a bit of a year for me to bet because I'm looking to bet against the public. You know, the way I look at and approach this sport. But I just wanted to get that out there for my little responsible gambling segment because, you know, I know what it is to be a kid growing up with all that type of gambling around me. And you know, I grew up in a family that loved to gamble too, so I understand. But now it's more easy, accessible, more now to the public than ever before.
Bill Krakenberger joins us. You tweeted out with your bankroll, go into the madness protecting your bankroll at all times. That starts with not betting into 50% household future pools. So the gambler who wants to jump in and bet, you know, they're in a pool with their buddies and throw $20 in, I get it. But what you said was so brilliant about touching the money and bringing it to the cage instead of it just flying through your phone and your app. What I notice here living in Vegas, you know how long I've been here, when I go do my show and I'm live for the week of March Madness, I see drunk people who don't know the games, don't know the teams, feel the peer pressure of their buddies to go up there and bet every game. So they bet a 15 seed, they beat a 12 seed because the spreads are so big and they just want to get involved, and I never see them go back to the window winning.
Yeah, you know, and it's even more aggressive where I am right now. I'm in Atlantic City. I came here to see my buddy Tony Orlando's show last night. I had some family come down from the Bronx. However, one thing I noticed here, and I just forgot about it, there's such a more aggressive crowd here. They come down to Atlantic City, and they actually are trying to win, whereas they're more of a touristy crowd in certain areas. Of course, they want to win, but it's not as serious as Atlantic City. Atlantic City gets to be a mean crowd, and what I mean by that is, you said the right word, Saturday night, I'm walking around and some people spotted me and everyone wants a winner. But one thing I noticed, everyone was drinking. They were all having a good time, but real aggressive gamblers, and they just want winners. They just want to gamble their money away. And let me just tell you, they don't have a clue what they're doing because everyone sees on TV and social media, 5-teamers, 8-teamers, 10-teamers, people putting up $5 to win $10,000, people putting up $5 to win $100,000. So of course, what do they do? Oh, I could do that. But that's the way the company's marketed at them. And those fives and tens lead to 20s, 50s, and 100s. They add up to a lot of money. And I think you just stick to straight bets. That tweet I put up was, and people are shocked by that, 50% there. They don't even know what it means. But what that means is when you go to bet someone to win, you know, the big dance, win it all, you bet Connecticut plus 5-1 to win it all for $100. Well, really, the true odds in Connecticut should be closer to 7-1. Because they take 50% of every dollar that comes into the pool, and they hold that and only return 50% back. So What a straight bet. When I bet Connecticut to win, you know, minus whatever, let's play the first round, minus 20. Well, then I know that I'm betting a bet that is at 4.5% house edge against me rather than 50%. And by the way, there's certain casinos that hold 60%. So you basically, now listen, they do win and they're fun. You want to do a little token bet, $5 or $10 for your buddies back home, or, you know, to win it all. And you're betting a 200 to one shot, which, by the way, all the people bet, they bet all these long shots. These long shots never get there. So give that a break. There's no 100 to ones. There's not even no 50 to ones winning it all. So, but that's the ones they bet. And sure enough, the sports books, they make their living off that. So I recommend just betting straight bets. And if you do want to bet a team to win it all, take that $100 and bet it on a money line parlay. So let's say you like a team like Purdue, like I said in the video, you'll bet 100 to win $30, so you win 130. Now you got 130. After your $30 profit, take the 130, put it on their next game money line. Chances are the ROI, the return on investment to the player, is going to be more than that 50% future pool.
Bill Krakenberger is our guest. You also say that you go against the public. And I want to get back to that, Bill, because you've made a lot of money. You're a successful sports gambler. You're on multiple platforms. When a fan goes to a sports book or they want to bet the first round of the NCAA tournament, how do you hone in on 2 to 3 games instead of 15 games and 20 games? Because even professional sports gamblers aren't right 50% of the time, most of them. You're one of the rare ones. That's why I put you on the radio and you have radio shows. What happens when everybody starts chasing? If the Super Bowl is going to end, there's not another Super Bowl on after the Super Bowl. It's one game. After you lose your first round of your NCAA bet, they got the second round, the third round, the fourth round. So people are chasing because they lost early in the tournament. How do you see it?
Yeah, by the time the night games come on, you know, because of such a plethora of games, they're chasing those late games with games that, like I said at the beginning, so they didn't even intend on betting these things, but they just want to get out. That's the number one thing a gambler says, even in a casino, sports book, wherever it may be. God, let me just get even and I'll stop for the day. Well, we know how that turns out in the end. It's the old method where you just double up and double up and double up and try to get out and try to get out and then get yourself in a lot of trouble. You don't even have, you know, money left for the second round of the tournament. It happens all the time. Myself, I look at it pretty different. I look to bet against the marquee names, the marquee teams. So those big teams that are, you know, 20, 24, 30-point favorites or 20-point favorites, I'll even look to play against them in the first half. Now, the reason why, the first half's a pure line. There's no garbage fouls at the end. Whatever the line is, the line is. You're not going to lose because you're fouling and get, you know, scoring 4 or 5 extra baskets just based on luck and, you know, stupid fouls. So I like to bet those teams like plus 10, plus 12, plus 8, plus 7. Those teams that are plus in the first half, because after all, who's coming to Vegas? Who's going to gamble on a team and betting the underdog, which people don't even know about, in the first half? Now, I don't do it blindly, but I like to bet those teams that are hungry. The kids that haven't played a lot of this kind of a big-name basketball that gets their endorphins up, gets their whole team up. They usually hang around the first 20 minutes and keep that game closed. Usually the talent of the better team will show up in the second half. So I think the first half is a much better play. Maybe the 13, 14, 15, 16, you know, seeded teams. I love those kind of situations in the first half.
Crack wins. Bill Krakenberger, as we wrap it up, that's great advice he gave you. That's why I wanted to have him on, so you could bet responsibly for the NCAA tournament. Hey, Bill, last one. A lot of casinos, you pointed out also on Twitter that the casinos cleaned up their all-time high records in 2023. So if we got a couple of listeners on their way to Atlantic City or Vegas or anywhere else where there's legalized sports betting, and they've never been to a casino, and they've never been there for the tournament, what should they ask the casino for when they sign up? They get their players' cards, ask for comps. I think a lot of people walk into these casinos blind. They don't know what they can get from the casino. You're an expert on that topic.
Yes, I write about it every week. Thank you. Yes, Las Vegas coming off an $11 billion win in Las Vegas last year for table games and slot machines, the biggest ever. It's nothing to do with non-gaming revenue, just tables crushing the old records. So, but amazingly, People go in that they don't realize they're entitled to a casino host. I'll start with that. The floor. If you're betting on the floor, if you're betting on table games, or you're betting on slot machines, you're entitled to get more than just a kiosk read you. You're entitled to ask for a casino host. I'm talking about someone just goes in and blows a couple hundred bucks. The guy that has the power of the pen can give you more than just a kiosk with a theoretical hold will show you when they don't have to answer to nobody. That's A. B, the sports book. Some of them do give away some things, but they're getting worse and worse. Back here in New Jersey and the new jurisdictions of the DraftKings, FanDuel and stuff, they don't even comp the players. They won't even give you a drink. So it's a little bit different than Las Vegas. Like, you go into the South Point, they're still writing handwritten comps to their they're taking care of some of their players. So if you are entitled to that too, some drinks and stuff, but it's getting worse and worse. They're charging you to sit. I try to find a venue that you don't have to go pay in to watch the games next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. The old bookmakers will be flipping over in their grave to know what these companies and corporations are charging now just to sit down and watch the game. Nothing to do with the money they're going to be gambling, but it's really, I like the old-fashioned way. I'm an old-school guy.
Take care, Crack. Thanks for a few minutes. Keep winning. Thanks for coming on the show. I miss you.
Thank you, guys. Take care, buddy.
Thanks, Crack. Bill Krakenberger, great point he just made there at the end. You know, I'm not a gambler, so when I go into a casino, I'm not a gambler. I don't go in looking for comps because I don't gamble. And I got buddies who are in town this weekend. I tweeted from on top of the Cosmo, and my buddy who is out here is a big, big gambler, and he gets comps. So if you're going into a sports book and you're looking for comps, I don't know who you ask, the sports book director, you ask someone who's there in charge, you do what you need to do. But back in the old days, I'm talking the old days for me, when the mid-90s, early 2000s on fight night and going into sports books and big things happening around the NFL, the whole place was comped. And I mean, you didn't pay for anything back in the day in Vegas. Literally, you'd go to dinner, you'd get a comp dinner, you have to tip. You got to tip well when you're comped. You got to tip what the bill would have been, and you got to tip big, which feels like a meal because you got to tip. But, man, if you remember, and I wasn't here in the 80s and the 70s and the 60s, obviously, but when I got to Vegas in the mid to late 90s, comps were everywhere. And the gamblers and the sports gamblers always had drinks, food being comped. And Bill, he writes about that and tweets about it all the time. He's very disappointed that the casinos have gotten so corporate now that they don't give out a lot of comps. And he'll tell you how to get a rewards card. How to park. I mean, one of the podcasts he did, which is incredible, is how to park. Every time I go out here, you know, the casino guy, I Uber all the time. I don't drive. I don't park in these casinos. I don't pay for parking. I live in Vegas. I'm not paying a casino. I'm not paying a casino to park. I'd rather take a $30 Uber instead of paying $30 in parking. And there's a couple of casinos left that don't charge, thank God. But that's part of the evolution of Vegas. But as Bill says, man, if you're going to be a casino gambler, you make sure you know when you walk on the floor of the casino what you deserve, what you should get in comps and rewards, because most people just walk in and out and give the casino their money. Raiders just put out the press release. They have re-signed defensive tackle John Jenkins and defensive tackle Adam Butler. The club just announced that today. I'm sure Q will get into that too. Two good players. I thought Adam Butler really came on strong at the end of the year. He had a good season, and John Jenkins is a reliable inside run stuffer. But now we have Christian Wilkins. So I think this room is full, everybody. After these signings and what they have, I don't think the Raiders need to go at 13 and take a defensive tackle. I'll be shocked if they do. They could, because at 13, the best available player could be a defensive tackle. But I think that room is good now. I can go with these defensive tackles in a rotation. Nestor Jade, friend of the show. And, you know, you look at what they need to do. They got to get this position group playing at a higher level. Because I thought last year they played pretty well. The defensive line was good last year. With Malcolm Kuntz, Mad Max Crosby, Christian Wilkins, and the re-signing of Adam Butler and John Jenkins, what more do you want? Then you got to get Byron Young to play and show up because he was a third-round pick out of Alabama. He's got to play like a third-round pick at Alabama. He's got to get on the field. So the rotation for the Raiders at defensive tackle, I think, is pretty good. And again, I still want a linebacker and I want a right tackle, but I think that's going to happen and be addressed most likely via the draft. 702-365-9200. Good guest today. Matt Vandermeer was outstanding. Bill Krakenberger, appreciate everybody coming on. Big shows the rest of the week. Two remotes this week, one at the Strat on Wednesday. If you haven't been to the Strat in a while, it will blow you away. That whole area down where the Strat is has really picked up nicely. Wednesday night, I'm going to Atomic Golf. They have that media night. Can't wait to see what that venue looks like. I'm hearing great things. And then Friday, we're at La Casa Cigars. So Wednesday and Friday, we're on the road this week. Excited to get out of the house, get out of the studio, and work with our partners. Brought to you by Remy Martin. Team up for excellence with a Remy Martin cocktail. Love the VSOP.
Since we're in late February, I really wouldn't take anything off the table as far as going up back. Yeah, so.
It's a quick one from Tom Telesco, the GM of the Silver and Black. I'll be in the Raider building later on this week. We got a podcast coming up, which we love, the Raiders Roundtable. We're going to do that on Thursday. More details on that coming up here. And I've talked to Tom. Love to meet him in person. Looking forward to that. I was with Antonio Pierce last weekend for Max Crosby's event. Max Crosby, an unbelievable event last Thursday. Fantastic, as several of his teammates were there. Antonio Pierce, Champ Kelly, Marvin Lewis, who I met for the first time. What a gentleman he was. We had a really nice conversation. The coaches that were there, Rob Ryan, Dana White. Dana White, who I think bought everything in the room for charity for Max's foundation. What a night that was. Tremendous night. So March Madness is upon us here. Would be more exciting if the UNLV Running Rebels were in March Madness. They're not. They'll go to the NIT. But the Lady Rebels are there, and we're really hoping that they win. Coach LaRocque deserves to win games in the tournament. They have to. A lot of pressure on them there. The Golden Knights are home this week, which is a lot of fun. When the Golden Knights are in town for a homestand, we love that overall. And then some of the other things that are happening around March Madness, where all the casinos usually have March Madness viewing parties. So some people might want to be at the pool at Circa. They might want to be inside at Mandalay Bay. Wherever you're going to be, the Fraternal Order of the Men of Khaki Pants are coming to town. They'll have their two pairs of khakis, their dress shoes, their dress sneakers, a couple of college shirts, maybe a sports coat, because the Fraternal Order of Men of Khaki Pants, they love to look good in a sports coat in a steakhouse. They're all coming. And we got to thank them all for coming, because they're going to leave all their money in Vegas. No one wins. Oh, and we just had Bill Krakenberger on. People bet the Super Bowl, they win. You just got to pick between one or two teams. You can win that. No one wins in college basketball because, as Bill said, everybody thinks they got to just bet more. Oh, you just lost six games. Well, I'm going to win the seventh game. And the casinos just smile behind the cage. Come on up, guys. Come on up. You want a three-teamer? Oh, you got a 10-teamer? Oh, right here. Come on, let's take your money. Well, that's happening, man, and that's why this city is amazing. Because people have fun. When they lose money gambling on March Madness, they still smile because they're watching the game, they're having some cold beverages, and they're betting on the game, man. It's a free country. No one does it. Oh, and there's no curfew here. If you were in L.A., or you'd have a curfew. They'd kick you out of the casino at 12:45. No, we're closed, not in Vegas. That's when the Fraternal Order of the Men of Khaki Pants take the cabs. And they don't want to have Ubers. They don't want the wives to see the Uber bill. Don't want to see the wives. The wives don't want to look on the phone. Uber, what was this Uber to Sapphire? What's Sapphire? Oh, nothing, honey. That's just a steakhouse here in town we went to. Oh, okay. So it's coming. I've watched this. I am an expert on this topic, man. This week, once I get into the casinos and watch some college hoops, you could see these guys coming a mile away, and I love them all. Because they're here to have fun, they're here to gamble, they're here to eat, drink, and put their money back into the Las Vegas economy. People don't fly to Oakland to watch college basketball and casinos. People don't fly to Portland. They don't fly to Bangor, Maine to go watch college basketball. They come to Vegas, and we welcome them all. Great job by Bobby today. Thanks to our guest who came in. Q's joining you next. He'll have a great show, and we got big shows the rest of the week. This is going to be kind of a dicey time for Raider content. The big boy, Christian Wilkins, is signed. They're re-signing a couple of their own free agents. And then, I never pace myself ever on radio. You've never heard me pace myself. But the next best thing is the draft. And Bobby and I are lining up all the draft insiders that we've had for decades. dating back 20 years with Bobby and I, and we're going to line them up on the show over the next 3 to 4 weeks and see what they think about the Raiders and what they can do overall. So thanks, everybody. Today's my double dip, 2 hours here. Now I do 3 hours on Mad Dog Sports Radio. If you have SiriusXM, you should. It's unbelievable. You can catch me tonight. I'll be on there from 4 to 7 p.m. Back here on Raider Nation Radio tomorrow, noon to 2. Wednesday, we're at the Strat. And Friday, we're at La Casa Cigars because of March Madness. Have a great rest of the day, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.